I would have been late, so. Let's start. 10 golden rules for working with MS Project. Some words about me. My name is Stefan Reister. I'm a senior consultant and product manager at TBG, the project group. You might have seen something of us already. I'm mainly doing, in the meantime, product management for our company, but I've done consulting for about more than 15 years. And because that was a real easy job, I had some time in my free time to write books for MS Press. So, as you can see here on the side. And during writing these books, I started thinking about my consulting jobs and about my trainings. And over the time, I developed these 10 golden rules, mainly for trainings I did at the customer sites. And after a while, I thought they should be going into the book as well. And now I have these 10 golden rules in my book, fitted into the process of management. So the book is basically based on the PMI process, and so I fitted all these 10 golden rules into the book. Unfortunately, I have to say it's only available in German. So, who is in the room who can speak German? For you, it would be a good choice. I know you have it already. Okay. So, this is about the book, but anyway, this session will be held in English. Okay. Just one note for the MVPs in the room. Don't ask me questions. You probably know the answer better than I do. All right. Start with the first slide. Who has ever heard this phrase, MS Project calculates wrong? Hands up. Be honest. Have you ever thought it by yourself? Never, ever. All right. I heard that a lot of times, and this was basically the initial thing to start writing things down and creating these 10 golden rules. And what I always say is, well, MS Project doesn't calculate wrong, but it calculates. The wrong thing is that you don't know how. And this is also a part of these rules. Okay. These are the 10 golden rules. You have them on this card. Everyone, you find it on your seats. So if you didn't get one, no worries. You get more on our booth. Or you can mail me, and I will send you the print layout if you need it on your screen or somewhere else, or you want to get it to your colleagues or whoever. Don't hesitate to contact me. All right. That's the card I already mentioned. So let's start with rule number one. What I realized, and basically I have to say about these rules, I stepped into almost every trap I mention here by myself when I started working with project. So, and one of the first things was, and I guess you all probably know that as well, if you start creating a schedule, I would say lot more than 50% also here in the room started with just typing in tasks and say, oh, this task has to start on that date, and this task has to start on that date. So what the people are doing, or I assume what they're doing, I've done it by myself as well, they type in a date in this fancy start column for every single task they type in. So that's basically error number one you can do in project. And so this is also rule number one in my 10 golden rules. Before you start typing in tasks, please set a project start date in the project information box. There is another option As you can see, I tried to use the pointer here. You can tell project schedule from, and there are two options, schedule from start date or schedule from end date. So what happens if you switch it to project end date? You can type in the end date in the upper field. So what happens then? I would say this is an option in a very, very, very early planning phase. Then project tells you when you should start your project to reach the end date. Fair enough, it's good. Project is calculating that and telling you that. But once you start executing your project, switch it to calculate from start date. Because what happens is, if you leave it on calculating from end date, it's getting always earlier. And you always get told from project, start 5 days earlier, which is a bit hard if you don't have a time machine. So this is my first golden rule, and I think I have a demo here. Might be a bit, my computer went to sleep mode. Might be a bit simple for some people in the room. Anyway, I want to show it. So what happens if you start with a blank project? What happens is project will set the start date to the actual day. There are slight differences in project 2013. If you use a template, you can type in a start date. It asks you about a start date, but usually the default templates, I haven't seen anyone using them. So what I see very often, the people are starting with custom templates, which have usually the start date when they were created. Or they start with a blank project, and a blank project always take the actual date. If you start with a project planning, at that day, if the project has to start, then you are already in a problem, I would say. So this is where you have to go first. Type in your start date or choosing it from the calendar grid. And now, if you type in a task, and this, by the way, that's something I have to say at that point. If you set project to automatic schedule, if you do that, then project will put the task always to the start date you have set in your project information box. Okay? Let's go on to the slides. The next rule is a very important one, and it is in my book. It is in the part where you initiate projects. So it's really at that time where you don't really plan tasks or whatever. It's when you set up your project. And this is about task type. Who is in the room who knows what a task type is? Okay, some do. So let's talk a bit about this magic calculation of project. This formula here is the most important formula of project. Project always calculates based on this formula. I have to say, if you assign resources to your tasks, okay? If you do not take resources in your schedules at all, then you're fine. You will not get in trouble. But once you start assigning resources, this formula is essential. What it does, it calculates the work of your project, of your tasks. And it always takes duration of the task multiplied with the units of the assigned resources, multiplied with the hours per day setting of your calendar you're using. So, duration and units, these are variable entries. And just the calendar setting is fixed. So that means we have two variables in our formula. A bit tricky. So what we have to think about is one of these variables has to be fixed. And this is what you have to decide, and I recommend do it before you start planning your project. You have to decide what is your default task type. You find that in the project options, default task type, and the default, if you install project, is fixed units. You can have fixed units, fixed duration, or fixed work. So that fixes one of these variables, and then project can calculate. Okay, this is very important. So the question is, which type should I take? I would say this is based on your planning focus. Are you planning more dates or are you planning more work? Based on that, you can decide between fixed duration or fixed work. If you want to fix your dates a little bit, then you should take fixed duration. If you want to fix the number of work, in the end that means also money, then you should take fixed work. And the fixed units is maybe a little bit the easiest one that says, okay, you assign a resource and it always keeps the units you have assigned to that task. So this is a little bit a mixture of both others. I wouldn't recommend one of them. You have to think about it and what is best for you. If you have fixed work, that means usually you will get changes in your task durations. If you use fixed duration, that usually would change resource assignments, work, so it changes the money on your project. And this is you have to think about. So project always calculates according to that task type. Again, I have to say, once you assign resources, you're fine with no resources. So more about that we will see in rule number 8. It's a bit tricky to use that task type, and for that reason I have a matrix where you exactly see how project calculates based on the task types and when you and based on the values you will change. So if you change duration, you can see in the matrix what will be changed by project using this formula. I got this out almost in every training, and I know many customers who have printed this out and put it on their screen or somewhere on their blackboard to use it. So maybe an option for you as well. All right. Wasn't there a demo? No, there wasn't a demo. So let's go over to rule number 3. This is the most debated rule in my 10 golden rules. Don't laugh, Chris. and this is about an engineering principle. And I have to say, this is not the one and only happiness of project. You can do other things. I have developed it for me, and for me it works fine. The only thing I have to say, you have to follow it in total. So if you use that rule, you have to use it for your entire project, not just for a part of it. So how does it work? What I always define is unbreakable work packages. So I say, okay, I have work packages, and there are, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tasks in these work packages, and this is just unbreakable. So I put this into a summary task, and the summary task represents this work package. And then I have just one entry and one output for this work package. And this is what I connect to the next work package. And for this, I use summary tasks in project. going to show you this in a minute. So where does it come from? It's quite easy. My original profession is I've studied electronic engineering, and that basically comes from electronic engineering. I put black boxes, and I don't know what's inside. It doesn't interest me. I'm just interested what I give in and what comes out. That's the principle. And if you take that over your entire project, then it means you have somehow many little projects in your project plan, and they are all independent. They are all just connected to each other in their dependencies. So how does it look like in the screenshot? There are some advantages, and I'm happy to discuss this later on. I don't know whether we have time in the session, but I'm happy to meet you at the booth if you like to discuss this. These are the black boxes, and what I do is I always connect from one black box to the next one. In that example, I have milestones between the black boxes because, for instance, my highest black box level is a face, and within that faces you can have more black boxes. And I want to point out the end of that face as a significant date in my project, and then I connect them just through a milestone. The beauty about it is if you collapse these faces, let's say to level one of your project, then you will always see the structure of your project, including the dependencies on this level, and you always know how are my dependencies in the project. You wouldn't see that if you just connect from task to task. So I have to say that's another best practice. Never ever connect summary tasks. You may have heard about this. You can work with this best practice as well. But then that wouldn't work. And what I do is I reflect always my levels in the schedule. So I only connect on one level. So I only connect level one elements to level one elements and level two elements to level two elements. That's one rule within it. And then it works. I do it now for about 10 years, and I do it in almost every project. Sometimes I have project plans with just 5 tasks, then I wouldn't do that. But if the project plan grows over, let's say, 50 tasks, then I always work on this structure. I think I will get a demo now. Short overview first. How to define black boxes? One hint is, for instance, start your structure on face level. So that means you have to define your project structure up front. Always, it's always also a good idea before you start typing in things in project plan, maybe do a brainstorming on a whiteboard or whatever without typing in your detailed planning. Write down what is the goal of my project, what parts do I have to fulfill to reach that goal, more on a high level. And that could be then your structure for your project summary tasks, for your faces, for your black boxes. One rule is each task has a summary. There does not live any task in my schedules without a summary task. Summary or task on one level, never both. So that means on one level I only have summary tasks or real tasks, and each black box has a defined end, like a project plan as well. So each black box is clear, that's the output. How to set up these dependencies? I always connect tasks within a summary, never across a summary, because my box is an unbreakable system. I never connect to higher or lower levels. But, and that's the exception, a summary can always be connected to a milestone. The reason for that is sometimes I want to point out a certain date, an important date in my project, and for that I use milestones to point out this date. So this is the overview on a high level, and now I want to show you how this looked like in life. Okay. So here you see the project plan, which is collapsed now to level number one. And what you can see is the entire structure of the project. You can see there are three phases. Each phase has an end milestone. And the beauty is you can now open one phase. Let's say you want to maintain that phase because you're currently in that phase working on these tasks. There are actuals coming in and so on and so on. Then there will probably be changes in that task, and then you can work on that that phase without reflecting all the others. You can leave them collapsed. You do not have to really look into them because they are independent. They are just connected based on your dependencies in your project goals. So, and based on, let's say, there is a feedback that task will take longer, so that moves out everything, but it doesn't affect the other phases on their own. Okay, any questions to that? No? Okay, then I will go on. This is an important one. I mentioned that before in rule number one, that very often people start entering dates in start or finish column. And I would say, or my best practice rule is, let project calculate. So what does this mean? The trouble about the start and the end column is they are editable, but they are calculated as well by project. This is the trouble. So what happens if you edit these start and finish columns? It causes hidden effects or not very outpointed or very good seeable effects, like that one here. Once you have created once you have edited one of these columns, you will get a little symbol in the indicator column. If you don't have the indicator column in your view, you wouldn't see that. The only sign is here a little green triangle which shows you there is something with that field. What is a constraint? A constraint always tries to change calculation of project. So it says the start date has to be reached. In the worst case, that means, and it depends on the constraint you use, that means that this task will never change even if it has dependencies which causes this task to start later if you set a start constraint, it could happen that this task will never be later. And that can bring you into big trouble. So what is my recommendation? Basically, the recommendation is never touch start and end column. I did hear very often rumor about this rule, but have you ever seen, oh, that's an old screenshot. That's not Project 2013. Oh. Okay. My rules are working also in Project 2023, so. These constraints can produce messages, planning wizard messages. And what I have seen about these messages is sometimes you have not just two options, sometimes you have three options. What happens if this screen pops up? In many, many cases, the people see that and say, ooh. One, I don't want to read it. Two, I don't understand it. Okay, I just hit okay. And I'm good. Next time that comes again. What the hell? Where does this come from? And then they find this little checkbox. Oh, okay, don't tell me that again. And then they are all happy. They never get any messages from project and all is good. But the recommendation about this wizard screen is don't switch it off. If it pops up, read it and try to understand what it's telling you. And then choose the option, what it offers you. And not only hit OK. So, the idea is, I skipped that because I see I already have 30 minutes. I just wanted to show you this screen, but anyway, we had the screenshot. And you probably get confused because in 2013 it looks different. So, let's go back. Because instead, follow rule 5 and 6. So, no. I have to do the demo. Because... I have a prize with me. And for that, I need to demo it. So what happens if you set this milestone of phase one to a certain date. It should finish not on the 2nd of April, it should finish 1 week earlier, 29th of March. Oh, here is it. Oh, I don't want to read it. Okay, don't tell me again. All right. So, here I have this little calendar symbol which tells me this task has a finish no earlier constraint and it refers to that date I choose. So, now project maybe starts calculating and do some If you are not experienced, do some silly things. At least you think it does silly things. The question is, and this is the quiz now, how can I remove this constraint? Okay, the best answer wins.
Go into task information and change that constraint to start as soon as possible.
Very good. Okay, any other suggestions? So one was go to task information, go to advanced, and choose start no earlier than. As soon as possible, sorry. So any other suggestions? Did you have another one? Change your task mode to manually schedule. Okay, that could be an option, yeah. Any other? And I didn't hear. Andu? Okay, that's a good one. Who was it? Andu, right in the back. Okay. So, well, there are several options, as you can see. Undo just works as long as you have done nothing else. So, Project Inspector could be an option, yes. But I show you one trick, probably one of the most hidden features. And last time, 2 years ago, when I showed this, the product manager of the client came to me and said, I did learn something from you. So because I have set the end date of that milestone, I can, and it is on automatic schedule, that task, I just can go on and hit the delete key, and that will delete the constraint and bring it back to its old date. Who did know that? Ah, okay. But I said I have a prize. So you were the first one who answered. So you get the prize. One of my books. By the way, do you speak German? I have a dictionary for you. Okay. So instead of setting constraints on milestones or tasks, I always recommend if you have certain dates in your project which you want to fix, or you want to point out them because there is a contract on your project and this contract points out a date or whatever, and you want to reflect that in your project plan. The first thing is about if you want to have a special date, you need to take a special task, which is a milestone. Milestones always point out special dates in your project. It's a task with a duration of zero, and it comes up with a special shape. It's quite easy to produce them. You just type in a name for that milestone and then go into the duration column and put it to 0 days. That will produce a milestone. So that's the first thing you should do. Entering a milestone in your schedule and connect it within your dependencies, because it has to be calculated also, because your project lives somehow. I always say it breathes. And this milestone needs to reflect its dependencies. So connect it with dependencies. Once you have done that, you still have one date, which will be changed by the dependencies. But you want to have this external date also in your project plan. And for that, there is another field in project, which is called the deadline. Who knows that there is a field deadline? A lot of you knows that already. So what is it doing, this deadline? If you set a deadline on a task, and I use it mostly on milestones, but you can use it also on summary tasks or normal tasks, that doesn't matter. So it produces, basically it's an additional date field on your task, on your milestone. And it produces, in your graphical Gantt chart, it produces a marker. So this is your deadline, and this is your calculated milestone. So this is calculated by a project, and this is the date you want to have for that milestone. So once you use deadlines, you have both information you need in your schedule to steer your project. You have the calculation of your project plan, and you have the required date. And then you have the option to steer your project and say, okay, I will not reach that deadline. I have to do something with my project. Whatever this will be, add more resources, shorten the task, let them work overtime, whatever. That can have different effects, but before you can do that, you need the sign that you have to do something. And this is what a deadline as well produces. It produces information for you in the indicator column. So this is also a very important column in your schedule, the indicator column, because it tells you a lot of things about your schedule, about your task. And here's this little one. This will pop up if a calculated date will overrun a deadline. Then it pops up and it tells you, okay, this task goes past its deadline. And that's exactly the information you need. And another neat thing is, who knows Total Slack, what it is? Hands up. A lot of experienced people here. So what it always also say in the Total Slack, if you use deadline, it always tells you, based on the deadline, how much delay do you have on that task? So it's a very helpful thing to use. How does it work? Let's take my demo number four project. So first thing is you need to know that there is this column deadline. Before you don't know that there is a field like that, you wouldn't find it. So you have to bring it into your schedule by, for instance, clicking right mouse click on the column head and say insert column, and then search for the name of the column you want to add. And then you have there another date field. So let's go on with that milestone, phase one. So when I add a date to that milestone one, it's calculated on the 27th of March. So let's just put it a few days before that we can see something. Then you can see here a little green arrow on that milestone. It's on the same line. It's just an additional date field for that task. Shows you that green arrow, and it shows you up front in the indicator column this task goes past its deadline. And as you can see, total slack is calculated based on the deadline. So this is delayed by -3 days. It's very dry in here. All right. Let's go on with the slides. Rule number seven, and that comes back to my black box principle, or in general about how to connect tasks, how to work with them. This rule is a general rule. It works also in other best practices. So this rule says every task should have a successor. Okay. Except the last one in the schedule. So, and the last one in the schedule should always be a milestone. What you can see here, end project, 0 days. What I usually do is when I start creating a new schedule from scratch, my first two things I type in is MS start and MS end. So this is the bracket of my project, and in between I create everything. So, and what you should control always, so that you do not have multiple ends in your project, you should always control that your project has no open ends. And according to my black box principle, you only have to watch out for this on the first level of your schedule. Because of this principle of black boxes, I do not have to reflect. Think about a schedule with 1,000 tasks. Okay, it's quite easy with order filter and so finding out predecessors and successors and where I do not have some. But it could be tricky then if you find one to connect them to their right dependence. So in my black box principle, I just collapse the project to the first level, and then I watch out my predecessor and my successor column, and there should be only two empty fields. One, the predecessor field for my start milestone, and the successor field for my end milestone. Once I have this picture, I'm fine. And I do not have to go deeper in the schedule. I always know I'm fine. There is no open end in my project. Everything goes against this end milestone, and this will always be my latest date in the project schedule. Okay. Shall we show that?
Yeah, we show that.
It's number 5. Watch out, though. Okay. So as you can see here, it's still my project schedule, and when I open or I fill in these two columns, usually you only have this in the standard planning Gantt sheet. You only have successors inserted in that. In that table, I always take the predecessors as well. And here you can see that's the project summary task. Take them away. So you have the start milestone, which has no predecessor, obviously, because it's the first date in the project. And you have the end milestone, which has no successor. But everything else has at least one entry. And so you are fine. You know there are no open ends, and you will be fine with your schedule. No matter what happens in your phases, and it does look a bit different if you go into your phases, because there are open ends, but these are reflected because they are covered by their summary task. So if something happens within that summary task, it goes to the summary task because the summary task is calculated based on what's inside. And it gives its information out because I have connected the summary task, not the single tasks in the summary tasks. Okay? It works, I promise. You just have to follow it. Oh, that's my favorite. That's really my favorite. Who knows that movie? Everyone above 40 should know it. I'm above 40. So I don't know. This film is from the 80s, beginning of 80s, something like that. There was one saying in that film which influenced my life. There can be only one. You remember that? There can be only one. But what has this to do with project? Any idea? Recommendation. Come on. One task, one resource. Why? That's a good question. The thing is, and now we come to... Now we come back to my rule number 2. You have to decide for your calculation task type. This is the point where you start adding resources to your schedule. And then this task type takes place and starts calculating. Okay? And this is something I want to demo, and I still have enough time to do that. And again, you can use more resources on one task. Do it. If you're happy with it, do it. But my experience is if you follow that, you will be fine and it will be easier to control your schedule. And I know that many people do it the same way than I do. So that's my demo project number 6, which looks a bit different. This is not really a project plan, by the way. This is what I use every time in my trainings to explain to people how task types are working. And as you can see there, 5 tasks, and you have every task represents one setting of tasks in you could have. So what I've done, I've just typed in these 5 tasks and gave them a duration of 5 days. Okay? So, and in the background, and that's something I want to show you, if you open the details page, which is down below here, you will find some more settings for your tasks. For instance, here you find the task type, and there is a checkbox effort-driven. Who knows what effort-driven means? Still some experienced people here. It's getting less. Okay, what means effort-driven? Effort-driven is something which reflects the work on your task. And if you set this checkbox, that means, more or less, keep the work like it was calculated during your first assignment. That's the important thing. And what is your first and your second and your third assignment? That's what I want to show you, because that's very important to know, and you will see in a minute what it does to your schedule. So in the background, I have 2 resources. Let's have a short look into the resource sheet. Standard. And I just do it simple. That means these resources have a maximum unit of 100%, which means in the default settings, they work 40 days a week, 8 hours a day for each working day. That's default setting. Usually, if you install a project, it works always the same way. What you could do is you could change maximum units. You can say, okay, resource number 2 is a half-day resource. So what you would do is, for instance, you have several options to reflect that. One is put the maximum units down to 50%. Okay, that's one option. That will start and making it complex. I start just with these standard resources. Everyone is working 8 hours a day, right? Yeah, more or less. Most more than less. Okay, let's go back to the Gantt chart. So what I do is I start with a fixed duration, not effort-driven. Then I assign resource number 1. Before I click OK, just a question, what happens? What happens to the task? It calculates work. And it will give that task 40 hours of work. Right. So, what has it done? Remember that formula? Work multiplied by duration, multiplied by the units of the assigned resources, multiplied by hours per day. So it's 100% multiplied by 5, multiplied by 8. Simple calculation, 40 hours. So next task, fixed units, not effort driven. Again, resource number 1. Same thing. So it seems that the task type does not really have effect. Not yet, right. Let's have a look for fixed work. Go to resource number one, click OK. Same thing. So far, so good. We are quite comfortable. Everyone can follow that. Now let's start and add a second resource. So resource number two. What will happen? 80 hours, and the duration is fixed. Good. Second one, fixed units, not effort driven. Second resource. What will happen? Fixed units, not effort driven. Same. Why? Because when I just take the resource and just take it and click OK, then project always says, OK, that's 100% assignment. As long as the resource has in the resource sheet 100%, it will always take 100%. Project will never assign more than 100%, even if you tell project to take more than 100%. The other way around, if a resource has just 50%, it will never assign more than this maximum units. So below 100, it will take only always the number below. It will never take something above 100, only if you say it. So same for that task type. What about fixed work? So it's quite easy, fixed work. So that means the work is fixed. So what option does project have? It reduces the duration. Okay, you will find that in the matrix I showed you before as well. So, all right. So one thing I have to point out here. Fixed work is always effort-driven. And here you can see that effort-driven has always something to do with work. For fixed work, effort-driven cannot be changed. It's fixed. Fixed work is always effort-driven. Keep the work like it was. And one other thing, and that's important for these two tasks, which are effort-driven. The first assignment was when I assigned resource number one. And I show you later on another way of assigning resources, which can be more tricky anyway. And this is according to what is first and second assignment, very important. That's the reason why I use always, when I assign resources, I always use the details window. I never go with other options because they have some tricky outputs. So let's go for this for these two tasks. So fixed duration, fixed units, effort driven, and I just left fixed work away because that's the same as that one. So what happens here? Resource number one is fixed duration, effort driven, and I assign that again 5 days, 40 hours, same as above. Fixed units, effort driven, assigning a resource, also 40 hours. Seems to be easy. Now I go on with the second resource. Resource number two. What happens? Fixed duration, effort driven. Every resource, 20 hours? Okay. And what about the duration? Stays. Okay. So 20 hours work for each resource over 5 days, but units 100%? How can this be? They're still available. They are still available 100%? That's strange, isn't it? That's one of the strange things about since Project 2010. Not the units will change, the peak units will change. You will find that in the matrix as well, but it's not pointed out in the standard views. So you will only see that in different views where you review, when you fill in your peak units, then you will see the real assignment units of the resources. Because peak units is a time-phased value in project. So, okay, still 5 days and 40 hours. Now, fixed units, 5 days, 40 hours, second resource. What happens? Any suggestions? Oh, I have to take resource one, sorry. Okay, okay. So what happens? It reduces the duration, which is obviously the only way, the only thing it can do, because the work is fixed by effort driven, and the units are fixed by the fixed units task type. So, but as you can see, once you start assigning more than one resource, project starts really calculating based on your pre-settings you have done. And the more resources you get on a task, and what I've seen very often is one resource is assigned for the first 3 days, the next resource for the next 3 days, then there is a resource on the same task for the middle 3 days, and I promise you, after a short time, you will have no control over your tasks. I promise. Everyone has the same experience, I guess. And this is the reason for my Highlander rule. I have some exceptions. For instance, if you have team meetings or something like that, it doesn't make sense to create a team meeting task for each resource which attends a team meeting. My thing around that is, okay, team meeting is an exception. There you can assign more resources. The other thing is, if that team meeting only takes one or two hours, I don't plan it. If it doesn't affect too much the project schedule, just leave it out of your project schedule. It doesn't make sense. Okay, but one thing I want to show you, and this is about what I said about first and second assignment. I just type, wrong field. Where's my mouse? Here. Task number, doesn't matter. Let's take this task to 5 days and let me think about, make it fixed units, effort driven. And now, I take another way of assigning. Let's assign using the assign resources dialog. And most of the people think, okay, I did see that many times the people are using this dialog to assign resources. So what happens is they think about, I'm putting two resources on that task. So they highlight resource number one, assign, resource number two, assign. And all of a sudden, the duration of the task has changed. Because the first click was the first assignment. So, and that executed the calculation, and we have effort driven here, and so project during the second assignment has to reflect that, and so it reduced the duration of that task. But that's probably not what I wanted. I wanted initially two resources on the task. So what you should do that though is type in 5 days. And then go again, close that screen, that window. Go to the details screen, select resource 1, select resource 2, and then hit OK. Now the two resources are the first assignment, which produces more hours on your task, which basically produce 80 hours on your task, which is a total difference from the first one. So, and as you can see, the demo should only show once you start assigning more than one resource, it's getting tricky. If you have just one resource per task, you have some key takeaways. You always have a one-to-one relationship between the tasks and the resource. You always, the assigned resource and the work of the task, they directly belong together. You always, if you watch on your task, you know what's up with the resource. It avoids very, in the first view, strange calculations of your schedule. You will always follow what's happening, and that's also another important thing. The task type is no longer as important as it is if you take more than one resource. Still, you should reflect the task type and think about what's best for your schedule, but it doesn't have that massive influence on your calculations. Okay, so last two rules, and we still have 10 minutes left. That's excellent. So, rule number 9, no resources on summary task. Why? That's, by the way, another best practice, what you can hear very often. And the point is, if you see the schedule up here, it's two times the same schedule. In the first version, I've assigned resources to the single tasks. Sometimes, and I found that often at customers, customers say, oh, this is a bundle of tasks, and I just have two people working on it. Why doing the work and assign them all to the single tasks? I can assign them to the summary task. Saves me work. But what happens is, again, this formula takes place. And it calculates duration by units, by hours per day. What happens in the first version? It calculates every single task and summarizes it up to 88 hours. The second version does the same. It takes that formula, two resources on the summary task, which is 200%, in fact, and it comes all of a sudden it comes up with 140 hours, which is a massive difference between the first version and the second version, which means, and if you calculate the hours in dollars, that could really increase the cost of your project. So this is always a best practice, assign the resources to the real working tasks, not to summaries or anything else. I think we can skip that one. And let's go to rule number 10. Rule number 10, and this is, I name it always, the most unknown feature in project. So what does it mean? Update project at status date. So once you have started and executing your project and you get back actuals from the resources, no matter how you do it, whether you have project server and they type their times in their timesheets or whatever, or you type them in manually, you get feedback and you bring it somehow into your project plan. Now, what happens is usually that somehow things are not done as they were planned for some reason, whatever. And the most popular thing is that you have very, very early in your schedule, you have work which is undone work which is in the past. So what happens is, once you start executing your project and you type in these hours or percent complete or whatever, if there is work in the past, that probably is a mislead of your dates. Because how can you fulfill work in the past? No option. Only if you have a time machine you could do that. So what you should do, and that should be done on a frequent basis, every week or every 2 weeks. I wouldn't say every day, that's too often. You should reschedule your entire project plan according to which what work is undone, and so that you get the real dates of your end milestones and your phase milestones and whatever. So this is my last demo, and again, I have prepared a little bit a schedule, but you can see here, let's say we are here at this task, we have, and you can see that, insert column, percent complete. We have all tasks are done until task 3.1. And 3.2 is done by 25%. That's maybe the feedback from the people who are doing the work. So that task should have ended on Friday the 17th. So let's say it's Friday the 17th, I'm the project manager, and I want to know what has happened in my project. And I did see, okay, this task is not finished yet, but it has to be finished by Friday. So what should I do? And this is something what I always recommend, do it on Friday night or maybe on Monday morning. The better idea is probably Monday morning, because updating a project plan is better to do if you are fresh from the weekend, you had enough sleep, and so on. It's probably not a good idea to update a schedule, I always say, between finishing work and going home. That's the worst time where you can update a schedule. So what you should do is say, okay, what's my status date? I'm in Monday morning. So the first thing I do is I set my status date. There is a button in the ribbon, status date, or you can also go to the project information window. Status date, and we are Monday, it was 17th January. So here, that was Friday, and now we are Monday the 20th. So first thing is, I set the status date, because now it's Monday, 20th of January, and I want to update my schedule. Next step is, now, I need to reflect that there is work, undone work, and that has to be moved into the future because it wasn't done until Friday. So just move a little bit to the end of the project, and then go to this button here in the project tab, update project, and that will come up with the screen you have seen in my slide before. And here you have several options to update a project. The default setting is update work as complete through, which is, for me, it's a bit, okay, update work like I have planned it. Okay, that's for the project managers who want to have their schedule like it was originally. Probably not the best option. The best option from my point of view is reschedule uncompleted work to start after, and here you will find, once you have set it, the status date. Okay? And then you can decide for entire project or for selected tasks. I do it for entire project. What happens is I click OK, and it moves all undone work after that date. And because I have set the Monday 20th, it hasn't moved to Tuesday. I should have taken Sunday, because it always takes the end of that day. Okay? And what happened is it moved the milestone by 5 days. What you also should do is, before you do that, take a baseline up front so that you know where your schedule was before. Only then you really know when your project probably will finish. If you don't do that, you will never have a real situation in your project plan. And that should be done frequently. All right. That was my last one. I did the demo already. Some resources for everyone who speaks German. There is a link to that book. And for everyone who wants to have the demo files or the print template of the card you had on your seat, just email me. I will send it to you. And again, have a nice conference. Thank you for your attention. And I'm still here for 2 minutes to get questions. But you can see me on our booth anyway. So thank you very much.